we could pretty much read this entire chapter and apply it to the idea that I'm talking about. But I'm going to read just a few verses, starting in verse 7, where it says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God," Romans 8, verse 7, "for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." So the carnal mind, it's talking about the mind that is always focused on the physical, on what we see, what we can touch, what we can hear, what we can taste, all these things, all the physical things, and focused on the physical. That mind, if we're always focused on the physical, what we can get, it's an enemy. It goes against God, is what it says, and it's not subject to the law of God. Verse 8, "So then, those who are on the flesh or in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." And it goes on to say in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So having this meekness, the gentleness that James talks about, being able to receive the truth with that attitude, it allows us to be spiritually minded. It allows us to win the battle against being carnally minded. So we are instructed in Scripture to be meek, to be teachable, to be gentle, to be receptive to the truth. So that when we see the truth, we know it, we love it, we live it. We see the truth, we know it, we love it, and we live it. So point number one is meekness. Point number two. So we're talking about growing in grace and in knowledge, developing that steadfastness or that foundation to withstand the storms. Point number two. I believe I've encouraged this before in messages, but I want to emphasize it in this sermon today, is that there are certain scriptures to pray. So I'm going to give you those. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. So point number two is when you're praying, when you have that alone time with God, take your Bible, open your Bible before God, and pray these scriptures. Let's read them. Philippians chapter 1. And you'll see that in both books, these are prayers of Paul for the people he was writing to. So the first one's a prayer of Paul to the Philippians. Verse 9, he says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment." So he's talking about spiritual knowledge and spiritual discernment. And you know that from verse 10, where it says, "That you may approve the things that are excellent, that are right before God." Excelente. These are the things that are right and perfect before God. "That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." And that's talking about Christ returning. "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So we see that Paul's prayer for them, and what I encourage you to do, is to pray specifically that your love will abound more and more. And this is a godly love. And I encourage you to develop a love for the truth. Recognize the value of the truth and recognize the importance of having that love for the truth and knowledge and all discernment, spiritual discernment. And if we have these things, then we can approve the things that are excellent. We can be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. And again, this is to God's glory, as he makes the point. And then Colossians chapter 1. Sounds very similar. Paul again makes the point that this is a prayer of his. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, he says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, how many of us would like to be filled with the knowledge of God's will as we go through our daily lives? And I like to turn to the Scripture and pray and ask God that He will fill me so much with His will or knowledge of His will that whether I'm counseling or talking or whatever it might be, it comes out. You know, if you are so full of something, let me put it this way. If your pockets are so full of money, that's the description that this is talking about. That if your pockets are so full of money that when you walk, you can't help but have it fall out. So that's the kind of being full that it's talking about. So being filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk. And we know that any time the Bible talks about a walk, it's talking about our conduct, our way of life. That we may have a life, a way of life that's worthy of the Lord, our calling, worthy of our calling. Fully pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. For all patience and long suffering with joy. So again, we see this, what I think is just a beautiful prayer. And as a point to grow, to be strong, to have a strong spiritual foundation, and not to be tossed to and fro, these verses in Philippians 1 and Colossians 1 give us a strong foundation. These are beautiful things to pray. I encourage you to pray them for yourself and to pray them for all of God's people, that He will bless us in this way. Again, that we abound or that we grow in love and knowledge and understanding, spiritual understanding, and that we increase in the knowledge of God. So this is something that I would encourage all of us to be praying on a regular basis. And it's important that we are striving to grow in knowledge. There's a verse in Isaiah 28. Isaiah chapter 28. At this point, the people in Judea, they had left God. They weren't obeying God. And we come down to verse 9, where the prophet Isaiah asks a question, where it says, "Whom will he teach knowledge?" So to whom will God teach knowledge? So we were just praying that God will help us, or I was encouraging you to pray, that God will help us to grow in knowledge. And then here it says, "Whom will He teach knowledge? And whom will He make to understand the message? Those just weaned from the milk? Those just drawn from the breast?" So he's making the point that those who are spiritually young, and it doesn't matter your age, that's an important point to bring out. So you can be a teenager or a child and have spiritual understanding. You can be an old person that has spiritual understanding. But he's talking about those who are spiritually young. We even use the term sometimes babes in Christ. So who will he teach knowledge? Whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? And he's making the point, no, it's not those. And then he goes on to talk about precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So he's talking about studying the Bible, understanding the Bible. So those who are spiritual babes in that sense, God will not increase their knowledge. So how do we mature spiritually? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Every one of us, I think, have the answer to that question as far as how do we mature spiritually. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, Paul, in the book of Hebrews, our understanding is that the Apostle Paul wrote it. But in this book, he goes through a lot of time and effort to compare and contrast the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And one of the things that he goes through the sacrificial system, and he goes through the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood of the Old Covenant, and what he terms the Melchizedek priesthood of the New Covenant. And in verse 11 of chapter 5, he tells them that of Melchizedek and the priesthood, according to the order of Melchizedek, he says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." So he says that he would like to give a lot more information or knowledge about this. But he's saying it's deep spiritual information, and you've become dull of hearing. And dull of hearing could also be translated hard of hearing. And it doesn't mean that you're losing your hearing, that you can't hear as well as you used to. What it means is you don't pay attention. Even if you hear it, it doesn't make a difference. So to grow spiritually, it's telling us that what we hear, when we hear the truth, we have to live it. That's how we grow spiritually. That's how we can handle the meat, as it talks about. Verse 12, "For by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again. The first principles of the oracles," or scriptures is what it's talking about, "the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." And so he's saying that you haven't grown enough that we can give you more knowledge. So to grow spiritually, you have to hear the truth, love the truth, live the truth. Hear it, know it, love it, live it. And so he's saying that he couldn't give them more because they couldn't understand it anyway. Verse 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of a full age." That is, those who by reason of use, and this is the scripture I use to prove my point, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So if we want to grow, it's important that we know the truth, love the truth, and live the truth. So by reason of use, that means living it. We exercise our senses to discern both good and evil. So every one of us, as we grow spiritually, we should be able to do this. So those scriptures in Philippians 1 and Colossians 1 give us a wonderful foundation to pray, to ask God to bless us in that way. Now, point number 3, increase your faith. So when you leave today, I encourage you to increase your faith. And when I'm talking about faith, I always like to start with Hebrews 11, verse 6, because it demonstrates the importance of faith. Hebrews 11. "But without faith, it is impossible to please God," to please Him, as it says. It's referring specifically to God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And every one of us can grow in faith. And I encourage all of us, myself included, to grow in faith. For if you come to God, so I've encouraged you, myself as well, to come before God and to pray to Him. Well, you have to believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So there's a qualifier that we have to diligently seek Him. But we also have to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I'm going to give you one point. You already know this point. But every one of us can do this today. You can do it tomorrow. And if you're not doing this, if I'm not doing this, I will not grow in faith. If you're not doing this, you will not grow in faith. You will not be able to please God. Let's turn to Romans 10. Another one of those scriptures that we recognize and maybe have memorized, Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes by hearing. This is straight from the Scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So how do you hear the Word of God today? Obviously, being at church, one of the things that from time to time concerns me, I don't know of any of you that are doing this, so I feel comfortable talking about it in front of everybody, but now we have webcasts, and we have various things on the internet that for some people, as it says in Hebrews, they forsake the assembling of themselves together. And they say they can just be at home and listen to sermons. And there's times where it's nice. If you're ill, if there's too much snow, for example, if there's an inch on the ground, for some of us, and you have a computer at home, you're going to stay home and listen to a webcast. There's times when it's great. But we're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Obviously, we have opportunities like the Holy Days, the weekly Sabbath, the Bible studies, even the clubs that we have. We have the opportunity to talk amongst each other about our goals, our focus of God's kingdom, of the truth. And we have our personal Bible study. You want to grow in faith? Do you want to be more pleasing to God? I think we do, all of us. Why wouldn't we? Every one of us. Well, then, study the Bible. How do you increase your faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So again, we're talking about truth, growing our faith in truth, because there's a lot of deception in this world. Even sometimes in the church there can be. So the point I'm making is, this is a principle that all of us can follow to strengthen our faith. And if we're doing this, if we're studying the Bible, if we're listening to the Bible studies and to the sermons, if we're taking advantage of the opportunity that we have when the truth is spoken, then our faith should increase. And we should be able to handle spiritual meat. We should get past the foundation principles as Paul was talking about. So make sure that your hearing is not dull or hardened, but that when you hear the truth, you know it, you love it, and you live it. So the fourth point that I want to give you is in Daniel. So if you want to grow in spiritual knowledge and understanding, let's turn to Daniel chapter 9. We have a wonderful example here from Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel wanted to understand the 70 weeks prophecy from Jeremiah. So he couldn't understand it. He was wanting to understand it, and he did specific things. In the past, every year before Passover, I've made this a goal or suggested it as a goal for all of us. And I certainly would encourage it again this year. Because when Daniel wanted spiritual understanding, notice what he did. Verse 2 says that in the first year of his reign, he's talking about King Darius. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord, given through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So he wanted understanding. Verse 3, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. So as you go through here, you see that Daniel was fasting, drawing near to God and asking God to give him understanding, spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding. Fasting is an important aspect in growing spiritually. Fasting is always to draw near to God. But by drawing near to God in this way, we allow our heart to be teachable, to have that proper meekness. God can teach us. So he's fasting. In verse 4 it says, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. And as you go down through here, you see that Daniel was repenting before God. And he was admitting his sins as well as the sins of the people or the sins of the nation of Israel. So he was fasting and repenting and drawing near to God and asking that God would bless him with spiritual understanding. In verse 17, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. And then he goes on in verse 18, O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations. Verse 19, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, listen and act and do not delay. And then we come down to verse 20 where he says, now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And it goes on to say that he informed him or gave him the answers that he was looking for. So, understand, I'm not saying that if you fast and repent long enough that Gabriel will come to your home. if he does, you may have fasted too long. You might want to drink some water at that point or have something to eat. But what I am saying is, if we want to grow in spiritual knowledge, this is a principle to follow. It allows us to have that meekness, that gentleness that God can work with, where we don't fight against the truth or resist it. Fasting and repenting. It allows us to draw close to God. So, brethren, we want to be strong. I feel comfortable saying that. We want to be steadfast. We want to withstand whatever storms will come in the future. We read that in the future there will be what we know as the false prophet. There will be lying signs and great wonders that are taking place, and many will be deceived. Well, I've given you 4 points that all of us can do. Strive for a meekness, a teachable spirit and heart. Ask God for it. Pray Philippians 1:9-11 and Colossians 1:9-11. Asking God to fulfill those verses in your lives and for His church, for His people. Grow in faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And take some time, and I encourage all of us to do this before the Passover, to fast and to repent before God. To ask God to be strong enough and mature enough to grow in grace and in knowledge.